ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with شرح السنة of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله. The last time we had points 84, 85 and 86. And just very quickly, and apologies for the late start, then the points that we had just very quickly were that the beginning of Islam, the first part of Islam, and the gateway through which Islam is entered, is the testification. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadun Rasulullah. That none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. So this is the first thing which mankind is to be called to. And the proof for that is the hadith in the Sahih of the sending of Mu'adh to Yemen. So with regard to the first part of the Shahada, this first pillar of Islam, the Shahada, La ilaha illallah. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that the meaning of that is that none is deserving of worship except for Allah. And that everything that is worshipped besides Him is false and futile. And the second part of the Shahada, Muhammadun Rasulullah, that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. That we bear witness for Him, for His messengership. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, and this encompasses that we obey Him with regard to whatever He commanded. And we believe Him with regard to whatever He informed of. And we avoid whatever He forbade and prohibited. And that Allah is not worshipped except with what He brought as legislation. And we had the point that no one can contradict what Allah has said. Whatever Allah has said, it is just as He said. None can contradict it. And that we believe in all the revealed laws. That which was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which was revealed to the prophets before him. Then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a point number 87. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الشِّرَاءَ وَالْبَيْءَ حَلَالٌ إِذَا بِيعَ فِي أَسْوَاقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عَلَى حُكْمِ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَدْخُلَهُ تَغْرِيرٌ أَوْ ظُلْمٌ أَوْ غَدْرٌ أَوْ خِلَافٌ لِلْقُرْآنِ أَوْ خِلَافٌ لِلْعِلْمِ. He's saying, رحمه الله, and know that selling and buying is lawful if it is carried out in the markets of the Muslims in accordance with the rulings of the Book and the Sunnah, as long as no deception, oppression or treachery is committed, nor anything contrary to the Quran or contrary to what is known. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, we hold as our belief that al-bay' wa shira', buying and selling, is lawful. He the Most High said, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْءَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 275. With the explanation, whereas Allah has permitted trade and He has forbidden usury. He has forbidden riba, that which they call these days interest. A misnomer, interest. Riba, usury. Whereas Allah has permitted trade and forbidden usury. And of course, the second ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Surah Al-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 29, with the explanation. O you who believe, do not devour each other's wealth. Do not devour each other's wealth unlawfully, but only in lawful trade, by mutual consent between you. Upon the basis of mutual consent between you. And he quotes the third ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمُعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ Ayahs 9 and 10 from Surah Al-Jumu'ah, as we'll follow inshallah. With the explanation, O you who believe, when the call to the prayer is given on the day of Jumu'ah, then proceed to the remembrance of Allah and leave off trade. That is better for you if indeed you knew. So when the prayer is completed, then disperse upon the earth and seek from the bounty of Allah. Sheikh Bazan said, meaning, seek provision. He explained the last part of the ayah, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. The explanation, seek from the bounty of Allah, Sheikh said, meaning, seek provision. Then he brings the continuation of the ayah, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The ayahs we said, ayahs from Surah Jumu'ah, 62nd Surah, ayahs 9 to 10, with the explanation. And remember Allah plentifully, so that you may prosper. Then the Shaykh said, and he said, with regard to the mosques, يُسَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Surah An-Nur, the 24th Surah, Ayahs 36 to 37. With the explanation, in the context of the mosques, wherein He, Allah, is glorified in prayer, in the mornings and the evenings, by men who are not preoccupied by trade, nor by sales, away from the remembrance of Allah. Sheikh Fawzan explained, he said, لا تلهيهم. They are not preoccupied, they are not diverted away. He said, he did not say, they do not buy, and they do not engage in trade. Rather, he said, they are not diverted by their trading away from the remembrance of Allah. Rather, they attend the mosques and they pray along with the congregation. Then they go off to their buying and their selling. And buying and selling is from the purest ways of earning, if they are free from ghish, deception, and khali'ah, trickery. The buying and selling are from the purest ways of earning, as long as these two are free of deception and trickery. And they are free from selling forbidden goods, and from dealing in that which is forbidden, and usury, riba. So if buying and selling is free of things which corrupt it, then it is from the purest means of earning. And he brings the next part of the phrase, إِذَا بِيعَ فِي أَسْوَاقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. If the buying is done in the marketplaces of the Muslims, Sheikh Bazan said, whatever is brought to the marketplaces of the Muslims, then do not ask about it. That which is brought to the marketplace of the Muslims, then do not ask about it. Because the origin is permissibility. Unless it is something about which it is known that it is something forbidden. in Asl, the origin is that what's brought to the market by the Muslim is permissible. Unless it's something that we know, no, this thing here is forbidden. He said, "Ala hukm al-kitabi wa sunnah," in accordance with the ruling of the book and the sunnah. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, such that the well-known conditions for trade are fulfilled. So if the seven well-known conditions for trade are fulfilled, then the transaction will be correct. And as for what is sold, if the seven well-known conditions, and the mention of footnote which will follow inshallah, the seven well-known conditions for trading are fulfilled, then the transaction is correct. And what is sold is halal, is lawful. And the origin is that the marketplaces of the Muslims are established upon that basis. In a footnote, they mention, with regard to the seven well-known conditions for a business transaction to be correct, they mention them very briefly, just giving the title of each. And they are ar-rida, mutual consent. The ones involved in the transaction are mutually pleased to be buying and selling that item. Secondly, ar-rashad, the one involved, engaged in that transaction, he is suitable to be involved in business transactions. He's allowed to take part, he's suitable, he's allowed and permissible for him to be involved in transactions. And they mention in some of the explanations of the books mentioned after that, so it's not permissible for a person who is, I mean, a child of the age of discernment, or a foolish one who doesn't have a full mental capacity, to be involved in a business transaction, if their guardian does not give permission, does not permit that transaction. So the second condition he mentions from the seven conditions for trade are rashad, being suitable to be involved in trading. Thirdly, that the thing which is sold is some property, wealth property, from which permissible benefit can be taken. Thirdly, that the item sold is owned by the one who's selling it, or he has permission granted to him to sell it at the time of the contract by its owner or by the legislator. The fifth condition they mention is the ability to take and receive it, that it's an item which can be taken, can be sold, and receipt can be taken of it. And again, as a side point, they mention, they say, for example, because on the basis of a hadith, they say, such as, you can't sell a slave, a runaway slave. A slave who has run away from his master can't sell him. You can buy my runaway slave. Even if the person could go after him and chase him and maybe catch him, that's not permissible. Or the has to be ability to take receipt of the item being sold. The sixth condition is that the price is something known. The price is fixed. The price is known. And what is being paid for, likewise, is known. And seventhly, that it is a deal which is being concluded. The deal itself is being concluded. That's it. It is not being made a condition for something else. And this is just a part of something else. This here, now this is a deal, or this is a deal between two people, it's concluded. That's it. And I'll give you a reference there. Al-Mubdi' of Ibn Muflih, Al-Rawd, Al-Murabba', and Manar al-Sabiyyin. And these side examples I gave here are from the notes to Manar al-Sabiyyin. So, back to the main text then. So, having said, Sheikh al-Fawzan, having said, that if the seven conditions are fulfilled, then the selling is correct and the item which is sold is permissible, and that's the origin of what happens in the markets of the Muslims. Then he said, he's saying, مِنْ غَيْرِ أَنْ يَدْخُلَهُ تَغْرِيرٌ أَوْ ظُلْمٌ أَوْ غَدْرٌ, as long as no deception or oppression or trickery, treachery enters into it. Shafaz answered, if deception enters into a transaction and an unknown factor and an element of chance, then it will be forbidden, haram, because it has become a case of gambling. That happens, it becomes a case of gambling. Or a case of khida', trickery, swindling, such that he shows something which is not the actual reality. He shows an item in an appearance which is not the true reality. And this is called at-tadlis. At-tadlis, giving a false impression to something. And it is, and he defines it, manifesting an item on sale in a form which pleases the one who looks at it, when it is in its reality, when it's in its unapparent state, something different to that. He moves on to saying, our vulm, for as long as vulm, oppression, does not enter into the sale. He said, such that the owner has been compelled, been forced to sell it. That he, I mean, such that the item, rather, has been the, well, such that the owner has been compelled, forced to sell it, that he was made to do the transaction. For a business transaction can only be an tarabin, by mutual consent. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّمَا الْبَيْءُ أَنْ تَرَاضٍ, that a business transaction can only be by mutual consent. In the footnote, they mentioned the reference for the hadith reported by Ibn Majah and Ibn Hibban from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, and that Abu Sayri said in Misbah al-Zajaja, its chain of narration is sahih, its narrators are reliable. And Sheikh Albani said, it is sahih, authentic. Then Sheikh Fawzan said, Allah the Most High said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأَكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. The ayah of Surah Al-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 29, again, with the explanation, O you who believe, do not devour the wealth of each other unjustly, except and unless it is a business transaction by mutual consent. Sheikh Fawzan said, so for the correctness of the sale, there is the condition that there is consent, pleasure and consent of the seller, and that he freely chooses to do so and is not compelled to do it, because compelling him is oppression, forcing him to sell something he doesn't want to sell. Then Sheikh Fawzan mentions an exception. He said, unless the forcing him to sell is due to a right that is due, such that he is a person who has debts upon him and he refuses to pay them back. For in that case, the judge or the ruler can intervene and can sell from his property what will be sufficient to pay off his debts, even if he is not pleased with that, because this is compulsion due to a right. You know, a right that's due upon him. He's got to pay his right, he's refusing to give this right. Then he can be compelled by the person in authority. The Sheikh said, and therefore they said, the sale of a person who does so by compulsion is not correct, unless it is on account of a right. إِلَّا بِحَقِّ. That's where Sheikh Fawzan ends his explanation of this point. As a side point, Sheikh Salih al-Sahimi, hafizahullah, he said, the restriction of the author in his saying that it is performed in the marketplaces of the Muslims, this is a point which requires examination, because buying and selling is permissible even in other than the marketplaces of the Muslims. Is it not permissible to buy and sell along with the Jews and Christians Is it permissible or not? Permissible. It is permissible that you can buy and sell, or you can buy it and sell and have mutual dealings and lease out and rent. This is a matter about which two people will not disagree. And therefore, the author, rahimahullah, restricting it by his saying, in the marketplaces of the Muslims, I don't see that there is a necessity for that here at this point. And rather, whoever wishes to buy and sell, then let him buy and sell as he wishes, in the lands of the Muslims, the lands of the Jews, or the lands of the Christians, in the lands of the disbelievers, whatever. However, with the condition that that transaction does not aid them upon something false and futile, or upon causing harm to the Muslims. For example, selling weapons to a disbeliever who is at war with the Muslims, that would not be permissible. As for the next point, point number 88, then Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, he brings a point. وَأَلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِلْعَبْدِ أَنْ تَصْحَبَهُ الشَّفَاقَةُ أَبَدًا مَا صَحِبَ الدُّنْيَا لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَدْرِي عَلَى مَا يَمُوتِ وَبِمَا يُخْتَمُ لَهُ وَعَلَى مَا يَلْقَى اللَّهَ أَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَإِنْ عَمِلَ كُلَّ عَمَلٍ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَيَنْبَغِي لِلرَّجُلِ المصرف على نفسه أن لا يقطع رجاءه من الله تعالى عند الموت ويحسن ظنه بالله ويخاف ذنوبه فإن رحمه الله فبفضل وإن عذبه فبذنبه. The saying of Imam al-Barbahari رحمه الله, and know, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is befitting that the servant should always have fear and concern. For as long as he remains in this world, because he does not know what condition he will die upon, what conclusion he will have, nor in what state he will meet Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Even if he performed every good deed, and it is befitting that a man who has transgressed greatly to the detriment of his own soul should not give up hope in Allah, the Most High, at the point of death. Rather, he should have good thoughts with respect to Allah whilst fearing his sins. So if Allah has mercy upon him, then it is from his favour. And if he punishes him, then it is because of his sins. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, said in explanation, this is a tremendous matter, and it is that the believer, the mu'min, should combine al-khawf wal-raja, fear and hope, such that in performing his deeds, he proceeds between fear and hope. So he does not just fear, he does not have fear on its own, and so therefore despair of the mercy of Allah. He the Most High said, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Surah Yusuf, the 12th Surah, Ayah 87. With the explanation, indeed, no one despairs of the mercy of Allah except for the disbelieving people. He said, and He the Most High said, وَمَنْ يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ. Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th Surah, 56, with the explanation. And who despairs of the mercy of his Lord except for those people who are astray? قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Surah An-Nur, or Surah Az-Zumar, the 39th surah, Surah Zumar, ayah 53, with the explanation. Say, O my servants who have transgressedly, say, O my servants who have transgressed greatly against their own souls, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, so he should not fear with excessive fear, which causes him to despair of the mercy of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. For this is blameworthy fear. He fears to such an extent that he gives up on hoping for Allah's mercy. That would be blameworthy fear. It's too much, too excessive. He said, and likewise, he should have hope in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. However, the hope should not take him and cause him to feel secure of the makr, of the plot or plan of Allah. Rather, he should be fearful of Allah's plot, Allah's plan. And the plot of Allah, the plan of Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is as befits him. And it is from his perfection. It is not like the makr, the plotting of the created beings. For makr, plotting, in the language, is secretly striving for some harm to come upon someone else in a hidden manner, such that he is not aware of it. This is what makr means in Arabic, plotting. In Arabic, makr is secretly striving for some harm to come upon someone else in a hidden manner, such that he is not aware of that. May Allah save us and our families from them and expose those who are involved in it. So the Shaykh said that it is secretly striving for some harm to come upon someone else in a hidden manner, such that he, this person, is not aware of it. He said, so if that is done for a just cause, then it is justice. And this is the plotting or planning of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. For he plots against the wrongdoers and the evildoers and causes his punishment to come upon them in a way that they do not perceive. And this is justice from him, he the Perfect. So he is praised for it. Walaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. So he is praised for it. But as for if causing harm to come upon someone else is not for a just cause, then it is dhulm, it is oppression, and it is not permissible. And this is the makr, the plotting of the created beings. But as for the plotting of the Creator, the Majestic and Most High, then it is something praiseworthy, because it is justice and fairness from him, he the Perfect and Most High. So this is the difference between the two matters, between the plotting of Allah and the plotting of the created beings. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, ayah 54. With the explanation. And they plot, and Allah plots, and Allah is the best of those who plot. Shaykh said, this is a case of recompense. And they plot, those evildoers plot, and Allah plots. So the Shaykh of Fawzan said, this is a case of recompense for them. So it is not oppression from him, he the Perfect and Most High. Rather, it comes about as a result of their plotting. They plotted, and Allah plotted against them, as a punishment for them. And this is justice from him, he the Perfect and Most High. And there occurs in the hadith, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاءٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. It occurs in the hadith, one of you may act with the actions of the people of paradise until there is not between him and it except a cubit, forearms distance. and then what was written overtakes him. And he acts with the actions of the people of the fire, and therefore he enters it. Sheikh Bazan said, he enters the fire on account of the fact that he has acted with the actions of the people of the fire. And the recompense comes as a result of the deed, of the action. And since his conclusion was that he acted with the actions of the people of the fire, he will enter the fire. And the opposite is the case. And then the Shaykh mentions the other part of the hadith, the same hadith, it's a famous hadith of As-Sadiq al-Masduq. And the reference will follow in Shaykh famous hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. The other part of which is إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاءٌ فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. And one of you may act with the actions of the people of the fire until there is not between him and it except a cubit, four arms distance. So then what was written overtakes him, and he acts with the actions of the people of the paradise, and therefore he enters it. In the footnote they say, reported by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, and you'll find it there as Hadith 3208 and 6594, and reported by Muslim as Hadith 2643 from a Hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Fawzan said he enters it because he performed the actions of the people of paradise and died upon it. So the fire will not be entered into except on account of deeds. And paradise will not be entered into except on account of having performed deeds. And deeds are in accordance with their conclusions. So a person must not be deceived by his own righteousness or his uprightness, and therefore feel secure from deviation. How many believers, and how many Muslims, and how many scholars Allah has caused, or Allah has made them deviate. He caused them to deviate when acts of disobedience occurred from them. So a person that Allah, the Majestic, the Most High, caused them to deviate when acts of disobedience came from them. So a person should not feel secure about himself, nor praise his own self. So he should not feel secure from deviation, and so, on account of it, feeling secure, mix with the evil people, and listen to them, and look into matters of trials and tribulations. He should not feel secure for himself. قلوب العباد بين أصبعين من أصابع الرحمن. Hadith that the hearts of the servants are between two fingers from the fingers of the Most Merciful One. In a footnote they mention a hadith reported by Muslim as hadith 2654 from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma. Sheikh Wazan said he should not feel secure with regard to himself. And the Khalil, especially beloved one, in Ibrahim alayhi salam, he said, وَاجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ رَبِّ إِنَّهُنَّ أَضْلَلْنَا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Surah Ibrahim, the 14th surah, ayahs 35 to 36, with the explanation that Ibrahim alayhi salam made dua and said, and keep me and my children away from worshipping the idols. O my Lord, they have led many of the people astray. The scholars have said something, from knowledge point out, this was Ibrahim, when they described as the Imam of Tawheed, the great prophet at the head of the prophets calling to Tawheed, the father of the prophets coming after him. And yet he did not feel secure even from worshipping idols. So he made dua that Allah should keep him away from that and keep his children away from that. May Allah keep us and our children away from that. Sheikh Fawzan said, so a person should not feel secure for himself from being put to trial and from having an evil conclusion. even if he is from the most righteous of the people. And he should not feel secure from the mercy of Allah, even if he shouldn't despair of the mercy of Allah, even if he is one of the worst of the disbelieving ones from the people. For Allah may favour him with repentance, so that he dies upon Islam and therefore enters paradise. Because as long as he is still alive, then he is open to this or that. So the deeds, one's actions, are in accordance with their conclusions. He's saying, وَيُحْسِنُ ظَنَّهُ بِاللَّهِ وَيَخَافُ ذُنُوبَهُ. And he should have good thoughts with respect to Allah, and he should fear his sins. Sheikh Fawzan said, he should make his thoughts with regard to Allah good. He should think good with regard to Allah, and not despair of the mercy of Allah. وَيَخَافُ ذُنُوبَهُ. And he should fear his sins. Meaning, Sheikh Fawzan said, he should not hope with a hope that has no fear with it. Rather, he should gather between fear and hope. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْعُونَنَا رَغَبًا وَرَهَبًا. Surah Al-Anbiya, the 21st Surah, Ayah 90, the explanation. They used to hasten to perform good deeds. And they worshipped us and invoked us upon hope and fear. Sheikh Fawzan said, they were the prophets. And they used to hasten to do good deeds and worship and invoke Allah raghaban, with hope, meaning hoping for his reward, and rahaban, meaning fearing his punishment. So the prophets gathered between fear and hope. They did not take one aspect and leave the other aspect. They did not take the aspect of hope and leave off the aspect of fear. And they did not take up the aspect of fear and leave off the aspect of hope. And the servant should make his thoughts about Allah good, particularly at the point of death. The scholars said, while a person is in a state of good health, he should cause the aspect of fear to predominate. While he's in a condition of health, he should cause the aspect of fear, he should have both, but he should cause the aspect of fear to predominate as a precaution. And at the point of death, he should cause the aspect of hope to predominate. Because, Sheikh explains why, he said, because during life, he is able to act and to repent and to seek forgiveness. But at the point of death, he is not able to do anything. So then, he should give precedence to the aspect of hope. And therefore there occurs in the hadith, لا يموت أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله عز وجل. One of you should not die except that he has good thoughts with respect to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. In the footnote they say, reported by Muslim in the Sahih, as hadith 2877, 2877, from a hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhumah. Then Sheikh Fawzan concluded by saying, he's saying, فَإِنْ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فَبِفَضْلٍ وَإِنْ عَذَّبَهُ فَبِذَنْبٍ. If Allah has mercy upon him, then it is from his bounty, from his favour. And if he punishes him, then it is on account of a sin. It is on account of sin. Sheikh Fawzan said, this is just as has preceded, that Allah the Majestic and Most High does not grant bliss to the people, nor does he punish them, except on account of their deeds. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Surah Al-Kahf, the 18th Surah, Ayah 49. For the explanation, and your Lord does not oppress anyone. والحمد لله صلى الله على محمد سبحانه اللهم وبحمده اشهد ان لا اله الا الله استغفرك واتوب اليك.